and welcome to Week in Review, your weekly roundup of news and analysis from UNFIF around the world. I'm Julie Levier Bignoli. Today, we're talking about the Franco-German plan for a 500 billion euro recovery fund, COVID's impact on real estate, the increasingly dreary outlook for 2020, and the return of German government borrowing. All that and more coming right up. Welcome to this edition of Week in Review. Following the German Constitutional Court ruling on European quantitative easing, some were worried about what the consequences might be for EU-wide pandemic relief measures. But this week, Europe's golden couple, French President Emmanuel Macron and German Chancellor Angela Merkel, announced plans for a 500 billion euro recovery fund. Our very own David Marsh and Danai Kiriakopoulou wrote, "The Franco-German plan is a welcome move towards greater European support for continent-wide pandemic recovery measures, rather than a historic step towards debt mutualization and full fiscal union. It marks an important shift in the German approach to continent-wide risk sharing, reflecting Berlin's worries about heaping funding pressure on the European Central Bank and an erosion of support for European integration in hard-hit southern debtor countries. The Merkel-Macron plan for temporary European Commission borrowing, earmarked for grants, not loans, to pandemic-hit member states, faces strong scepticism from northern and eastern EU states wary of extra budgetary largesse for southern states. The proposal falls a long way short of the analogy advanced by Olaf Scholz, Germany's finance minister. Scholz, vice-chancellor under Merkel, compared it this week with the 1790 fiscal reform under which Alexander Hamilton, the first US Treasury Secretary, pooled revenue collection powers and autonomous borrowing powers at the level of the fledgling central government. The Franco-German step sends an important political signal. Profiting from a crisis-induced surge in her popularity and a sharp fall in support for the extremist anti-euro Alternative for Germany, Merkel, planning to step down next autumn, is seizing the chance to secure her legacy as a European integrationist. But this brings a potential drawback. Even if the plan gets off the ground, it will be her successor who has to achieve the monumental task, with the rest of the EU, of making it a success. Danai penned another article for the website this week, looking at COVID's impact on real estate and offering up six guiding principles for designing policy interventions. Danai wrote, "The COVID-19 economic shock is having a material impact on the real estate market through multiple channels. Rising unemployment is affecting individuals' ability to pay rent and mortgages. The lockdown measures adopted by many governments are exacerbating pre-existing vulnerabilities, such as overcrowding, the quality of dwellings, connectivity challenges, domestic violence, and homelessness. These can have long-lasting effects on health disparities, economic inequality, and social mobility. Several governments have enacted support measures like rent freezes and mortgage holidays. These actions have helped ease the immediate pressure. To ensure the support remains effective and on a sustainable path after the crisis, policymakers may want to think about the following. First, focus not only on action, but also on its effects. Throughout the pandemic, the focus has rightly been on action. Governments have prioritized allocating resources into designing and implementing policy. But it is equally, if not more, important to also put resources towards measurement and evaluation. Second, keep an eye on debt, but worry mostly about growth. Large-scale government interventions have unsurprisingly invited concern about debt sustainability. At an OECD roundtable on housing policy last week, policymakers recognized that debt can hamper their willingness and ability to support these measures. Debt levels are rising for households, businesses, and governments, and will continue to do so. However, assessing debt sustainability is a more nuanced exercise. Third, focus on demand, but don't forget about supply. The crisis in the real estate market is so far mainly driven by a negative shock in demand. Businesses are going under and vacating premises. People are losing their jobs and cannot afford to pay rent or mortgages. But as we look ahead to the post-COVID period, supply can become an issue. If, as the economy recovers, demand exceeds investment, this can lead to continued pressure in housing availability and affordability at a time when it will be needed most. You can read the rest of Danai's guiding principles over at omfif.org. Our US chairman, Mark Sobel, gazed into his crystal ball to try and determine the outlook for the rest of the year. Unfortunately, the dreary outlook for the 2020s has become drearier. Mark wrote, "Arriving at the new normal, whatever that will be, may take years and entail enormous dislocation, further depressing global growth. Prior to coronavirus, the global outlook for this decade was already sobering. Secular stagnation, stall speed, low inflation, and Japanification had become part of economists' daily lexicon. Annual global growth readings before COVID-19 were below 3% using market exchange rates. The advanced economies faced aging, high leverage, and declining productivity growth. China had been a key global engine of growth. Yet, facing a demographic kink, high leverage, a weak financial system, and a shift from investment-intensive industrial growth to consumerism and services, China's potential growth, too, was seen as falling over the coming years, by some estimates to 4% from 6% annually. Southeast Asian economies depended on global value chains and exports. Latin American productivity was anemic. Monetary policy in major economies was already seen as overburdened, and analysts judged that fiscal policy generally needed to shift to consolidation. The fallout from the pandemic will be superimposed on this dreary outlook for the 2020s. The recession will inflict an enormous cyclical cost on economic activity. Early on in the crisis, there had been hopes that lockdowns could quickly flatten and squash the curve, followed by a V-shaped upturn. In advanced economies, the use of policy space in the interim would bridge the lockdown shortfall. Those hopes have given way. The expectation now is that social distancing is here to stay and will dampen consumer behavior. Recovery will take much longer, and there could be ups and downs along the way due to second waves of the virus. Households will save more and restore balance sheets. Many fret about a W-shaped scenario, and some advanced economies may not regain lost activity until 2023. The hit to emerging markets, with far less economic policy space and beset by falling commodity prices, could prove more lasting and severe. To hear more from Mark, don't miss his virtual roundtable on Friday, the 29th of May. Chang Yong-ri, director of the International Monetary Fund's Asia and Pacific Department, joins him to discuss the impact of coronavirus on the region, actions taken by policymakers, and the post-pandemic outlook for Asia Pacific. Our Chief Executive Officer, John Orchard, spoke with senior representatives from Germany's Debt Management Office, KfW and DZ Bank, to discuss the return of German government borrowing. The government had already started to relax its notoriously balanced budget when COVID-19 hit. The economic impact of the virus, as officials are ready to point out, reveals the purpose of Germany's black zero budget policy in the first place. Germany responded quickly to the economic consequences of COVID-19 with a wide program of support measures. The country's comparatively low debt-to-GDP ratio is expected to rise as a result to 75% from 60%. How will these measures be refinanced? What is the market response so far, including to the recent Constitutional Court ruling? To read their conversation in full, go to omfif.org. My economist colleagues have two new podcasts out this week. Brandon Chai spoke to Xiaolan Fu, director of the Technology and Management Centre for Development at the University of Oxford, to discuss the short-term disruptions and long-term transformations to global value chains and international trade. And Pierre Ortlieb spoke with James Blair, Fixed Income Investment Director at Capital Group, to discuss the state of play in global bond markets. Next week, on Wednesday, 27th of May, we are hosting a virtual high-level seminar on the future of the euro area with a keynote address by Paolo Gentiloni, European Commissioner for Economy. On Thursday, the 28th of May, Robert Koopman, Chief Economist at the World Trade Organization, discusses major challenges facing global trade in 2020, as well as the future of the WTO. The following day, Toshide Endo, Commissioner of Japan's Financial Services Agency, outlines how the FSA is working with private financial institutions to support business, transmission mechanism of the government's stimulus package, and the pandemic's wider impact on financial markets. And that is all for this edition of Week in Review. To read more about everything we've discussed, visit omfiv.org or scroll down to the notes underneath this podcast, where you will find links to everything mentioned today. To stay up to date with OMFIV news, analysis, and forthcoming meetings, sign up at omfiv.org/subscribe. I'm Julie Levy-Bignerly. Thank you for listening.